Hey, Mac. Glory, joy, joy, be in the house of the Lord this morning. Good to see you here. I've got several things here that I want to do. Now, I've told some people what's in this little box. Ronnie, would you like to guess what's in that box? What? This may be my treasure chest for a long time. I may bring this to church with me a whole lot. How many have I told what's in this box? Raise your hand. Ralph, you like to guess what's in this box?
Money.
What do you think he's going to say, Sam?
Candy. Hershey bar.
I started to get up here and run up through there and around them children and say, I like chocolate, I like chocolate. That's one way to get their attention, and they might eat the candy bar, you know. I'm going to tell you what's in here, because I don't think anybody here would ever guess it. Phil and Karen knows what's in here. They're two big goose eggs. That's a treasure to me. I was up to the hospital to visit with Phil. We got to talking about all kinds of things. Killing hogs and all that kind of stuff, you know. And he said, did you ever eat a goose egg? And I said, no, I don't believe I've ever eaten a goose egg. Karen said, I'll bring you a couple. So she brought me a couple. Pays to go visit. You don't know what you're missing out on if you don't go visit. Maybe some chocolate pie on the shelf. Apple butter biscuit ain't bad, bro. I'm just encouraging you. See, this is a new year. We got to start somewhere. You might get a goose egg. You might get a piece of candy. Somebody might even have some chocolate pie or anything. You never know. But most of the time that I've ever went to visit, I was more blessed than the one I visited. That's the way it works. So I want to encourage the church this year to visit more. You won't hardly go up to the nursing home. If you ain't careful, you'll run into Joe and Lady. Appreciate that. Places I go, somebody will say, well, so-and-so's been here. Well, that's a treasure to us. And those are kind of things I want to encourage the church to do. Got a couple of things here I want to mention to you, and then I've got a message the Lord wants me to preach. Jean asked me a question when she come in this morning. She said, we don't know the church schedule. We don't know what all's going on. So the call tree's a good thing, but that ain't everything. Our people, our new members that's come in, took membership, they need to know when our communions is going to be and when this is going to happen. And we've got Bible school in usually in June or July or August, somewhere in there. Those things, though, that we have in order, that we know when they're going to be, we ought to have that in the hands of our people. And so help us to work on that. They need to know that. kind of like coming in, and it's a big mystery. We don't know. So we need to work on that. Call tree, if you don't got your name on it, you need to get your name on that call tree list. Got Roy's and Diane's on it, and Doyle and Jean, and Alan and there I have April. I got it. Got theirs on. Is there anybody else that needs your name on the call tree? Don't have it on there. Okay. Okay, now our business meeting's coming up Wednesday night. Let me encourage you to be here. It's easy not to come. I say, well, I ain't doing nothing to have a business meeting. Well, that might be the most important meeting you can be to sometime. So try to come if you can. Wednesday nights we have Bible study. On the night, first Wednesday night is business meeting. Other Wednesday nights we have Bible study. And the second and fourth Wednesday night, you people that sing in the choir need to come. I'm not quarreling, I'm just prodding you a little. You need to be here. And it's hard to learn new songs if just three or four is here. And then everybody else says, well, I didn't know that song. So try to be here. We need to, let me say this about Bible study. Bible study is something that equips the group that comes, I believe, as much as about anything that we do. Get us ready to go out and witness, and we come together and we just speak to each other and with each other. And it's a communication that you don't often get in a church service. So you need to be here. Wednesday night, it'd be good if you'd be here. I know that there are a lot of things going on, but it's, you know, we somewhere or another we got to decide what's important. So, I'll leave that up to you, whatever you think's important. Then I want to give you this. Got it somewhere now. There it is. Last year, for 2015, we lost six people by death. We gained 12 members. So we doubled in that sense. Is that good enough? Question we need to ask ourselves. We'll probably always say, no, that's not good enough. I hope we think in those terms, because people's lost, and people need the Lord, and people need to come to know Him. In the last 6 months, our attendance has been climbing. In the last year, our attendance has been slowly, average is going up. Now, we only count the ones that's here. And if you've not been here as regular as you ought to be, you're making the average go down. So think about that. You people that's members of the church, you have a responsibility to Tuckerdale Baptist Church. You men that's deacons, you've got a great responsibility, and you need to carry that out, and they have. pretty well done that, as far as I'm concerned. And probably the greatest fault is a preacher. I'm going to try to do better. You all know that I've been going to the coast to fish a month in April, a month in October. We'll not be gone more than 2 weeks each time. I figure I owe myself just a little bit of time, and I'm going to cut it back. We're not going to do like we've been doing, running back and forth. Probably miss one Sunday and maybe one Wednesday night. That'll be it. I don't believe in asking you something that I'm not willing to give some myself. So, need to think about what you're doing. Put that in the back of your mind. What am I going to do this year? I'm going to do the same old thing I done last year. Is my presence going to be better? Is my attitude going to be better? Is my love going to be better? And am I going to be a joy? So that's what we need to think about. That's all I have on that. Now we get to the message. We had a school teacher at Lansing named Truett Eller, and all of you, about everybody here knew Truett, most of you. Charlie Cecil was a football coach, and he retired or left, went to somewhere, I don't know. And Truett took over. I may have told you about this, you don't know. Truett took over the football coaching. He called us out on the field. Said, boys, we're going to do something different. Somebody said, well, what could we do different? He said, we're going to go back to the basics. Asked one old boy what the basics are. He said, I don't know for sure what you got on your mind. He said, we're going to go to blocking and tackling. He said, if you can tackle other team, they can't score. And if you can out-block them, we can always score. So, they are some basic things that the church needs to hear. And so, we're going to go to the basics this morning. Simple things. Simple truths. That's what I'd title this message today. Just simple truths. Sometimes we are wading so deep out in the water that we can't hardly see the shore. It's like somebody says, we can't see the forest for the trees. We just keep trying to find something new and something different and something. We don't need nothing different. How many of you know what made Apostle Paul a great preacher? This simple truth. It's a message he preached. I want to go back to the beginning because I think sometimes we don't understand. We don't grasp. We don't get a hold. If you're here lost today, I want you to think about these things. If you're here saved, you need to think and refresh your mind about these things. Because you know the devil's shrewd. He'd like for you to forget a whole lot of things. Oh, I'm up here now, and boy, I'm ready to fly. Sometimes we just come back down to the ground. Come back down to levels. Bible says in the very beginning, in the beginning, God. Now that's just a basic, simple truth. In the beginning, God. And Revelations says, I am Alpha and Omega. God is eternal. He's eternal that way, and He's eternal that way. He's eternal in the past, He's eternal in the future. I can't explain that to you. I didn't come to explain that. I wanted to tell you just a simple truth. That's what the Bible says. He's eternal. He's always been, and He'll always be. That's one of the basic things that we have to remember, and that we have to believe that God is, and that God's eternal, and that God will be there when we need Him. Sometimes I think we throw up our hands and we forget that. Especially when we got things comes in our path, sin. What in the world am I going to... Well, God. Do you know that God's got a plan for each one of you? Do you know that all things work together for the good to them that love the Lord, to them that are called according to His purpose? If you're saved, that's you. You can't claim that. Then it goes on. I want to go on to another basic truth. God is eternal. And then in Genesis 1:26, let me just read this. And God said, let us make man. Let us bring forth human beings. That's just basic truth. And then He said, let us make man in our own image, in the image of God. Means we can think. We can discover, we can pick up and do mighty things. Man's capable of a whole lot of things. But the basic thing about you and me is this. We're eternal. Not that way, but this way. Just as sure as you sit here today, you can't get out of it. You're headed to eternity. You're eternal being. And I often tell daddies and mothers when a little baby comes into the world, you're holding eternal in your lap, in your arms. And I like to tell grandpa and grandma and mothers and daddies and great-grandpas and great-grandmothers, hey, you're influencing eternal beings. It's not a horse. It's eternal. How are you handling that? How are you handling your responsibility when you're dealing with eternal beings. Sometimes we think, well, he must be talking about angels. No, I'm talking about that little angel in your house that eats at your table and drinks your water. How are we handling that? I'm going to tell you something today. Unless you're genuinely saved, unless you're on the altar of sacrifice for Jesus Christ, you're probably, more than likely, you're coming up short with your children. Because that's the only way that you can deal with them eternally. Any other way that you deal with them, you're dealing with them temporarily. You're feeding them. You may clothe them. You may be as good a parent as anybody ever was. But can you tell them about Jesus? All right, what about you people that's saved and in the church? Let me give you a basic principle for that. He said, let your light so shine before men, before your children, in your home, wherever you go, that they may see your good works and glorify God. How do we stack? How are we stacking up? You see, man is eternal. Every single one of you is eternal. And I'm going to give you something for those people that are out here and they're depressed and they're down and out and they're troubled on every side and they think, I'll just shoot my brains out. It don't work. It still goes to eternity. It's just a short trip to eternity. You can't get out of it. You can take your physical life, but you've got to spend eternity somewhere. How are you dealing with that? How are you dealing with your own life? How are you handling your own life? You are eternal. You've got to go one place or the other you can't get out of. How are you dealing with your own life? And how do you expect to deal with anyone else's life if you're not dealing properly with your own life? If you don't have your self in the place where God can use you and where you are trusting God and you're following after God and working after God and walking after God, how do you expect to help anybody else? So now let me come to another simple truth. Every one of you come under this. There's not a one of you that's not under this. You're a sinner. You have been a sinner. You have walked in sin. You've committed sin. You've admitted to follow God. Never one of us has been guilty. You see, in the very beginning back there, when God created the heavens and the earth, He created man and He placed him in the garden and said, you can eat of every tree but that one right over there. And he only had one commandment, and they broke it. And man's been sinful ever since. What's the penalty? What's the penalty? If you're a sinner, what's the penalty? The wages of sin is death. If you eat of this tree, you shall surely die. Well, let me tell you something. Since that sentence came over, man, it was hanging over all of us. We had no way out. Because guess what? We was all sinners and we couldn't pay the sin debt. Death was hanging over every single person, every single man, every single woman. We was in a mess. And let me tell you something. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus Christ, your personal Savior, you're still in a mess. You see, it was this way. The sentence was death. It's not changed. We could not pay the sin debt that we owed. You see, money won't pay it. Good looks won't pay it. Good clothes won't pay it. A good home won't pay it. You can't buy it out with a good car. And ain't an airplane good enough to fly to heaven? You can't pay it. You say, what am I going to do? You see, it's so simple for us to understand that once we realize that we have been sinners, that we have walked in sin, we've committed sin, we've failed to follow God, we've done all of the things against God, and all of us has been there. We need somebody that can pay. We needed somebody that could pay. Who's going to pay? I ain't going to depend on the deacon. I ain't going to depend on the preacher. As good as I love them and as much as I love their prayers, these deacons can't get me to heaven. Did you notice something in the Sunday school lesson this morning? Did you notice something? It was in that song book. What was that, 34? Was it 34 you sung there one time? Let's see. Yeah. That's not the one. Anyhow, it says, you can't be good enough to go to heaven. You can't be good enough to get saved. You can't be good enough and you don't deserve it. What are you going to do? You see, it's like this. Suppose you was in debt head over heels and somebody going to come and lock you up and you can't pay. You ain't got the money. You ain't got what it takes to pay. If somebody come and say, well, I've got a bank account over here that it can't ever be overgrown. So I'm just going to pay that sin debt because I'll be all right. I'm going to pay that debt you owe. What would you think about that? You'd be jumping up and down, hollering and screaming and praising whoever done it. Wouldn't you? Yeah. Well, guess what? Somebody done it. Somebody paid your sin debt. Somebody made it possible that you could change roads from hell to heaven. You don't have it. You can't fix it. You can't get it out. I mean, you can't be good enough. You can try and try. You can wait and wait and wait. But you can't be good enough to get to heaven, you have to have the debt paid. Guess what? You're still eternal. Now the debt's been paid. Somebody come and gonna pay me out. Lock, stock, and barrel. Let me tell you, ask you this. Don't raise your hand. I don't want to know. But have you ever inherited anything? Has anybody ever give you anything or left you anything? We'll tell you something. I inherited $500 and lost it when I sold my home place. Come along and one old man, Ben. I didn't know it was going to happen. An old man I'd visited, paid attention to, left me $2,000 in his will. Man, that locked me, tickled me to death. Listen. You have an inheritance in God through Jesus Christ that you can't afford to miss. In first place, if I hadn't have took that, I'd been disrespectful to that old man. And in the second place, I'd have missed out on a blessing. And in the third place, I'd have had to pay myself. And I didn't have to pay. Now let's think about this a minute. Here we are, made in the image of God. Eternal beings on our way somewhere. Every one of us. We're on our way somewhere. We can't buy it. We can't get it. Except one way. Thank God there's one way. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man comes to the Father except through me. Now let me go on with that just a little while. I've not got any watch on and don't make no difference. But I want you to understand something today. You see, we're here as human beings, with no way to pay. And the sentence is still the same. The wages of sin is death. And God sent His precious Son into this world to suffer and bleed and die. The Holy One. The sinless one. Had no sin, no sentence hanging over his head of death. Sinless. Bible says even when he was on the cross, he could have called 10,000 angels to set him free. Because he had no sin. He didn't have to die. The only sentence for death was sin. Still the same. It's still the same. Therefore, Jesus said, Father, I will go. I'll pay the sin debt. For everyone that will come and accept it, I'll pay the debt. Did that leave anybody here out? Does that leave anybody here out? No. You see, he could rightfully pay your sin debt. Because he had no sin. He laid down willingly on an old cross and said, nail me on, because Tom's a sinner. And I want to pay for it. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Worth the sinner. I want to pay his debt, Father. This morning, no doubt the Bible says that Jesus stands between God and man, interceding. See, you see that one lost. You see that half a dozen that's lost. You see those people down Tuckerdale, there may be somebody lost. Father, I went to Calvary for him. I went to Calvary for her. I went to Calvary for every single one that would come. Whosoever will, they come and drink of the water of life freely. Now, let's think about it. Life. Life. Eternal life. Eternal life. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And for those that reject Him, there'll be everlasting death. You say, how's that? You're going to end up in a place that you wished you could die and can't. It'll be so terrible that you'll wish that you would accepted life. Eternal through Jesus Christ. You see, that's the only thing, not only is that the only thing that will save you, is your trusting in Jesus Christ and His sacrifice at Calvary. See, somebody had to sacrifice to make that payment. That's the only thing that'll get you to heaven. That's the only way you can go. And that's the only thing that will send you to hell if you reject it. That's the only thing that stands between you and eternal life. Either your acceptance or your rejection of Him. Is that too hard? You see, God is willing to forgive your sins in Jesus Christ. And when you reject Him, you've rejected all of the plan that God has. There's not another plan. You say, well, I ain't good enough. All you people that was good enough that's been saved, stand up. Wasn't good enough, was you? It was all in the same boat. We was all in trouble. We was all in a mess and we couldn't get out of it. We had a way out, and His name was Jesus Christ. And that's why I preach today. Mike, I was such a bashful little boy, hid under the bed when the company come. And the only reason I preach today is because I know Jesus Christ worked. He worked for me. He satisfied me. He gave me all that I needed. And He's all I'll ever need. And I'm telling you, if you'll accept Jesus Christ, you can have peace. You can have joy. You can have life. Eternal life. And sometimes I think when we get it, we don't shout it. We don't tell it. We're afraid. Something's wrong. We got the best thing. There ain't nothing better than being saved. I'm glad you sung that song. I'd rather be an old-time Christian than anything I know. That'll make you like chocolate. Amen. It ain't no wonder people don't want to be saved. They're just like she was with the chocolate bar. We can't convince them that it's good because we don't shout it. We don't tell it. We don't praise it. We don't give Him glory enough. My wife's got a little sign on the refrigerator that said, "Forget love, I'd rather fall on chocolate." Amen. Hey, forget all this other nonsense. I'd rather be in love with Jesus Christ. I'd rather be an old-time Christian. I may act crazy and I may look silly, but I don't care. I'd just rather be an old-time Christian than anything I know. So here we are. Here we are. God said, "I gave my son. He paid a debt at Calvary. And you're standing here between death and life, eternal." And guess what? You choose. Going to church don't cut it. That's good. We ought to be in church more. We'll be ashamed of ourselves if we don't attend church if we're saved. But let me tell you something. We all got choices. You choose Jesus Christ or we reject Him. We do that in our opportunities of the day. He keeps coming to us and coming to us. And we just reject Him. Well, I'd rather be somewhere else. Seen a sign down here on the car pulled up beside the church there on Sunday morning. I won't put one on my car. And that sign said, "I'd rather be fishing." You're sitting at church. Not me. I like to fish better, good as anybody in the country, but I'll drive back and forth from the beach to get Tuckerdale to church. That's what I think about it. Because you know why? God's been that good to me. Not that I deserve anything. God's been that good to me. Now, He's offering you something today. He's offering you something. He may be speaking to somebody that's just out of kelder. Somebody that's just kind of lukewarm. They need to get warmed up. He may be speaking to somebody that's lost here today. You can change your going by saying, "Yes, Lord, I come to You. I know I'm a sinner. I know I'm lost. I know I'm in trouble. I know that I've tried everything, and I just can't fix it. Lord, would you fix it for me? I just bring it to you. Billy, get us a song. While we stand to our feet, this is basics, folks. This is a basic truth. This is the gospel message that Jesus Christ comes to save sinners. And he said, I'll go with you all the way. I'll go with you all the way. You'll never have to be alone anymore. You'll never have to wonder anymore. Some of us today are facing difficulties and things in life that we can't see. I want to tell you, this man Jesus, he's on your side. You just need to trust him. All of us need to trust him, Lord. While we sing, if you're here and you need to talk to God, say, God, I come humbly before you. I'm lost. I need a Savior. I don't know who that is. I know about all of you. I don't know your heart. God does. While we sing,
81.
What if you'll do? You'll come down, bow on this altar. The Bible says we'll confess with our mouth and believe in our heart that Jesus Christ is.